This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Today we're talking about identity. In that last piece, we heard how people, whether intentionally or not, can pass as another race just by changing the way they talk. But passing can also be a full-time intentional endeavor. The U.S. has a long history of African Americans who lived as white in their daily lives.
Particularly during the Jim Crow era, which was the era of legalized segregation, there were many advantages to passing as white.
That's Allison Hobbs. She's a professor of history at Stanford.
Pass as white meant to get a better job. It meant to live in a better neighborhood, to being treated with much more respect and dignity than the way African Americans were often treated.
Hobbs' new book is called A Chosen Exile, A History of Racial Passing in American Life. Allison Hobbs joined me in studio, and I asked her to share a story about her own family.
My aunt told me a story about a relative of ours who lived on the south side of Chicago. She grew up like any other black child of her day. But when she graduated from high school, her mother made a decision for her that she was not happy with at all. Her mother decided that because she looked white, she was very light-skinned, that she would move far away from the south side of Chicago and from this very historic black neighborhood where she had grown up, and she would move to Los Angeles and she would assume the life of a white woman. Now, the relative did not want to leave Chicago. She didn't want to leave the only family and friends and community that she had ever known. But her mother was insistent, and the matter was decided. But in her mother's defense, she really believed that this was the very best thing that she could do for her daughter. This was a way that she could create a better life for her daughter. So
she goes to L.A.
She goes to L.A. She marries a white man. She has children who know nothing about her background. And years later, she receives a very inconvenient phone call from her mother. And her mother is calling to tell her that her father is dying and that she must come home immediately. And despite these dire circumstances, our relative would never return to Chicago's South Side.
She didn't go.
She explained that she was a white woman now and there was simply no turning back. And there really wasn't. I mean, it would have been almost impossible for her to go back. What would she have told her husband? What would she have told her children? So she didn't see any available avenue to return. And what she said to her mother was, you know, this is the life that you made for me. I didn't want to do this, but this is the life that you made for me. And these are the consequences that we have to live with.
And you heard that story and what?
I heard that story and it just stuck with me. And it made me really see passing through a different lens, particularly to think about passing less as a story about gain, which it often is. But hearing her story made me really think about all there was to lose.
And how common was this, really?
You know, it's a great question. It's really hard for us to know just how many people passed. And part of the reason why it's so hard to quantify is that there are some people who pass permanently. There are others who pass just during the day, just to get a better job. And this was often referred to as 9-to-5 passing. Many of the people who passed really covered their tracks. They did not want to be found. But I felt very lucky that when I went out to do the research and when I went into the archives, I was surprised at how many stories I was able to find. So while we can't quantify it, we can see that it was a pretty common phenomenon, and particularly because it was a way of advancing oneself and sort of working around and negotiating around some of the constraints of a racist society.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and I'm speaking with Allison Hobbs, author of A Chosen Exile, A History of Racial Passing in America. What do you think passing fundamentally does to a person's self-image? Because you can trick society on the outside, but you know what you are and who you are.
Absolutely. So by the 1940s and 50s, there's a lot of discussion in the Black press, and there are a lot of testimonials that are published where African Americans who have passed have said, I'm through with this. This has been incredibly taxing emotionally, psychologically. I don't want to do this anymore. So by the 1950s, and I think this really corresponds with the launch of the civil rights movement. It corresponds with the kind of collapse of some of the barriers that were erected through the Jim Crow regime. It corresponds with the opening of some employment opportunities, particularly white collar employment opportunities, where African Americans are starting to kind of rethink this decision to pass. And they're starting to say, you know, it's just not worth the costs.
And so the civil rights movement comes and then passing starts to taper off, or what happens?
I think what happens is the civil rights movement and the kind of the collapse of some of the barriers of Jim Crow, we're moving into this period where there's kind of a resurgence of racial pride and a kind of sense of racial community. And passing just starts to feel kind of incongruous with that time period. I'm sure that people continue to pass even after the civil rights movement. You know, I'm sure it's a phenomenon that certainly continued because there was still much to gain by being white.
There still is much to gain by
being
white.
Absolutely. There still is so much to gain by being white. So I'm sure that passing continued then. I'm sure it continues now. But I think we can look at the civil rights movement as being kind of a turning point in this history.
But let's fast forward to today. There are more opportunities for people of color. But there's also an increasing number of people, especially here in the Bay Area in California, who are biracial, who are multiracial, who can pass easily as white. So I'm wondering, do you see it happening today?
In the earlier period, you know, you really only had two choices. You could live as black or you could pass as white. Whereas today we have a much broader range, a much larger landscape of racial identities that are recognized in our society. My book focuses on racial passing where African Americans are passing as white, but that's really just a subset of a much larger phenomenon. You know, there's stories of gay men and women who passed as straight. There's stories of women who passed as men who passed as women, Catholics who passed as Protestant. I mean, there's just such a wide range of different forms of passing that kind of thinking about that larger landscape helps us to sort of look at this one particular type of passing that particularly interested me and to sort of see the way that kind of makes us think differently or look more widely or to sort of consider American, the particular dynamics of American race relations.